Welcome to FIO on the Air, the voice of the festivals and events industry in Ontario. Please welcome our CEO and your host, Dave McNeil.
Hello and welcome to FIO on the Air. In the next couple of weeks and months, we're going to be bringing on a lot of festivals from around the province, talking about what's coming up in their communities, a little bit of information about their festivals, what people can look forward to. We're also going to touch base with some DMOs, some RTOs, and some local tourist people to find out what else is happening in and around the communities that host these events and entice people to come in and share in what the communities have to offer and help us with our tourism offerings for all of the festivals around the province. And to kick things off, we've invited our good friend, Miles Russick from the Sound of Music Festival in Burlington. Welcome, Miles.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me here. Always good to see you.
So this is your second year post-COVID. Is that correct?
That is correct. I know. I'm the first CEO in 44 years to have to cancel this thing twice. But yeah, here we are. We're back.
And it looks like you've got an absolutely great lineup. So what are some highlights from your point of view coming up?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. So what we tried to go for this year is a little bit of something to everyone. You know, we wanted to have all these different genres all mixed together. So we've got a really cool retro 80s night with a flock of seagulls, Men Without Hats and the Spoons. We're doing this really big rock night with, we're bringing in the Struts all the way from the UK. We're actually their only Canadian stop on their North American tour. So we're the part that makes it the North American part because they're coming to us. JJ Wild opening for them, Crash Test Dummies, I Mother Earth, Default, Bad Flower, Lee Aaron, Coney Hatch, the Roadhammers, Lindsay L., Chad Brownlee. I could keep going. Like there's,
so you really got something for everybody's taste. It's not exclusively an 80s party or a country party. It's a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we wanted. We wanted it to be a party. We wanted it to be a party that people are going to remember. We want it to be a party that people are going to come to. So yeah, we tried to, you know, really put together different genres on different nights. We listened from some of the mistakes of the past, and we've tried to make it this year so that there's no stages competing with each other. So, you know, when we've got the retro 80s night over here, we've got sort of a brand new alt rock night on the west stage so that there's not a lot of overlap on those audiences. So we can, you know, hopefully pack the park the entire time.
So for somebody that hasn't been to Spencer Smith Park, just explain exactly what it is you've got going on there, because it's much more than just the music and the stages and stuff.
It is. So we are Canada's largest free outdoor music festival. So we have three main stages. We have two sub stages and about five kind of activation pods. And on top of all of that, we have a street festival, a family zone, a music education program, a midway with a carnival and rides, tons and tons of food and vendor options. Like, There really is, like, it's a family event. There's something for everybody going on. And it's a lot of fun. Like our street fest this year, we wanted to go in a little bit of a different direction where we didn't want it to be all about music. And I get it, we're a music festival, but we saw that there's opportunity to do like a lot more entertaining things. So we've got like a fire juggler who's coming. We've got this one's one of my favorites. We have a dinosaur acrobat. And I'm not even going to tell you what that is because I want people to come and see it. It's amazing. But yeah, we have a dinosaur acrobat. We have a fire juggler. We've got a magician who's going to be doing close-up magic and a stage performance. Like, we really are doing a little bit of everything. We're introducing young people to music. The Hamilton Music Collective is coming out and doing a music instrument petting zoo. So if you, you know, you want to try playing guitar, go for it. You want to try violin, go for it. They'll be on site to help you through all that. We do it up. It's a huge 4 days. June, what are we, 15 to 18. It's very soon. It's, you can probably hear the panic in my voice a little bit.
It's just around the corner.
It's a few weeks away, but yeah, it's going to be big. I think this is going to be one of our biggest years.
And you talk about it's a free festival for the community or anybody that comes in, but you do have some VIP options. And can you talk a little bit about those experiences? Because I think that's what people are looking for, is that different type of experience, right?
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. So we are completely free. If you want to come down and spend nothing, you're welcome to do that. You don't need a GA ticket. You just show up and have fun. But then, yeah, we do offer up, and like, because we're free, these are the ways in which we are able to keep the festival free. So we are an independent nonprofit. So we run a front row program where you can get a front row seat to, or ticket, I should say, to the artist of your choice, stage of your choice. And then we have a VIP lounge. In the lounge, you know, you're going to get an actual raised and covered platform so that you can, you know, it's not going to rain. We're going to knock on wood now, but it'll at least keep you out of that beaming hot sun we're going to get. There's elevated washrooms, you know, and you don't have to use the porta potties. There's a premium bar service. There's a different food options within the VIP that are only open for the VIPs. And one of the really cool things as part of that VIP experience is we're actually going to be doing some meet and greets in the VIP lounge. So part of your ticket, you can line up and meet some of your favorite artists that'll be playing over the 4 days. So, and you know, all that, it's $50 to get into the VIP lounge. Like, it's super accessible. We're not looking to, you know, charge you $300 and give it to you for nothing. Like, it's just going to be a fun day. It's accessible. It's affordable. It's good.
And is that VIP ticket, is that per day or per show, or how do you separate?
Yeah. That? So it's per day, or there is an option that you can buy we call it a weekend VIP pass. I mean, it's Thursday to Sunday, but we just say weekend or all festival pass. And if you do that, I think it's that you save 20% if you actually buy all 4 days at once as the weekend pass, and then you can come and go as you please. And that's sort of the fun part too, is, you know, there's going to be tons of sampling and activations and things like that. So with the all weekend pass, you just come and go as you want to.
And Miles, like many festivals around the province, you've got a small but mighty staff. And can you speak to how you guys work together and how you work with your volunteer base, and has
that
base come back post COVID? Or
first, I want to say, and I know everyone's going to say, but I have the best team. There are only three of us that work full time at the Sound of Music, and then we have a couple of contractors who join us as we get closer to the event. And then, yeah, we have over 1,000 volunteers that last year, those volunteers gave over 6,000 hours, which was crazy to see. Like, we just have this fleet of people that make this thing happen. And, you know, it's funny, coming out of the pandemic last year was our first one back. And we were a little worried, like, are we going to lose a ton of volunteers? What are we going to do? Like, how are we going to staff this thing? Last year, we had 350 brand new volunteers sign up, which we did not expect. I really thought that it was, you know, are people going to be afraid of the crowds? Are they ready to come back? You know, and instead we had a ton of people sign up. So kind of this similar scenario this year, I would say at least 90% of our volunteers are back. We have some volunteers who have actually been with us for over 20 years and they keep coming back. I'm gonna shout out to Ron McKay, this guy. I was at his 78th birthday or something like that. And he still comes every year and he drives around in a golf cart and he manages things. And he's fantastic.
Those are really the glue and the fabric that keep these festivals afloat, right? I mean, 6,000 volunteers, I mean, that's, or 6,000 hours, that in and of itself is a team to manage something like that. So,
yes. And I have an amazing operations director who handles our logistics and our volunteers. And then the way we break it all out is kind of each area of the festival. So our logistics, our licensed areas, our eco team, like, they're all divided up into these teams. Each team has a chair or two chairs who kind of run that program and oversee the volunteers under that. And then that all feeds up into Brent, our ops director, which feeds into me. And but like those people, the ops chairs and everything, they meet once a month, all year. They give countless hours. They're in the background planning things and you know, doing things that at bigger, places that have bigger staffing and everything, they have staff that are doing. Where we have volunteers that they just, you know, and they do it for a t-shirt and a thanks and to be a part of this thing. And that to me is like, that's amazing. I don't know how they do it. I volunteer at two organizations and I'm exhausted. And that's like, you know, 6 hours a year and I'm exhausted. But these people are amazing. We couldn't do it without them. And it is really cool to see them just mobilize over those 4 days.
And I just want to talk about one of your teams, because I know you were recognized through our organization with your greening project and your yes. eco project. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because yeah. you guys, along with Hillside, are some of the premier leaders in that whole movement. And it's not an easy job to recycle at festivals or things that you don't have total control over.
Yeah, we're really proud of it. And I do have to give credit to the co-chairs of that. That would be, we call them Eco Dave, Dave Torchin, Eco Dave, and Renee Utershagen. They are our eco co-chairs. But like, it is tireless work that these people do. It's amazing to see. You will find Dave out there at 3 a.m., you know, finding cans in the bushes and sorting. Like, so we have a sort station where literally every garbage bag goes to this sort station. We have volunteers, the Boy Scouts. There's actually a really big robotics program that these kids come out and they literally sort garbage. They sort recycling. They make sure everything is where it's supposed to be. And we have a 90% diversion rate, which means that of all the garbage that is generated through this festival, and like we're talking last year, we had 500,000 people at this festival. So all the garbage that comes all gets sorted. By the time the entire festival is done, 90% of what has been collected goes off for recycling, 10% goes to a landfill. So we are actually one of the best greening programs in Canada when it comes to festivals and events this size. Thank you very much to FIO, who recognized us in Ontario for it. But it's a massive, massive undertaking. Like we put sort stations throughout the park. And, you know, you can't always count on the general public to sit there and, oh, okay, the fork goes in there and this goes into this and this. So, you know, we even have people that are at those sort stations and will help people with sorting all of that as they're coming up. So it's not just, you know, a big tray that gets dumped into the garbage. And it's amazing to see how much they do. And at the end of it all, you know, like I said, you think about those gigantic sort of garbage skid dumpsters that get dropped at these events. By the time ours is all said and done, about a quarter of one of those goes to the landfill, and that's it. We even, with a part of our program, we've made it so that our vendors, all the food vendors, have to be using biodegradable utensils, cups, straws, all of those things, plates. You know, if you can't recycle it, then we don't allow them to bring it. So it's, you know, we're pretty proud of it, and we recognize that, you know, we're a huge footprint with a lot of people. And we think that we have that responsibility to do the best that we absolutely can so that, you know, this festival isn't quietly in the background, you know, damaging our environment around us. So we're pretty proud of that program.
And it's obvious by your schedule that you guys are well connected with the live music scene throughout the province, the country, and abroad as well. But the other thing I wanted to share for anybody that's looking on how to improve their stuff, and I think you guys are, if not one of the best at your social media and your marketing programs and the way everything's tied in, because I mean, I can be scrolling through my phone and as soon as I see that orange disc or the orange and black, I know right away who it is. And that's a huge thing. Can you talk a little bit about your marketing program and how that came about?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the amazing things about us is like we are such a small team, but you know, social media and just getting out there, digital strategies, it's everything. So, you know, we have a summer student. She's a recent graduate in kind of social media and marketing. And she's doing a lot of work with us. We're fortunate that on our board of directors, we have Julie Cole and Allie Rainey, who are two PR and marketing specialists. And then, you know, it's kind of me. I'm at the head of this sort of marketing strategy. And, you know, we just try to think about like what's cool and what's fun. And we try to have fun with it. And I think that that's one thing that it often gets lost in marketing strategies is that people, you know, you start to take yourself too seriously. And, you know, we're not changing the world, unfortunately. We are just a big old music festival, but you got to have some fun with it. So, you know, My whole team and I will like head down to the park and shoot some fun videos. We call up, you know, these artists that we're working with and we're like, hey, let's do something fun, you know, and it's all about that fun messaging. And it's not just about like, let's sell you something, or let's, you know, not even let's sell you an experience, because even when it's free, it can still get super saturated. So, you know, we try to have some fun with it. We try to promote the great things that are going on. We try to make it about the audience. And I think that that's an important part of that marketing strategy is don't forget your audience, make it engaging and impactful about them. Like we're launching a program right now as a part of the festival where certain hashtags will actually get captured and broadcast onto our big stage screens at certain intervals throughout the day. So, you know, now you can take a selfie at the park and, you know, there's you with your favorite band. And 10 minutes later, you're up on the big screen, kind of how they do at baseball games and things like that. So, you know, that's a lot of what we do. And then when it comes to the actual sort of design and look of everything, last year, we sort of refreshed our brand to give it this sort of cool, you know, rock, grungier look, just to keep up. You know, like I think that some of our branding was getting a little tired or outdated, and it was just time to give it a little bit of a refresh. So this year, you know, we're going heavy into the kind of spray painted look and like really sort of, I don't know, this like guerrilla marketing grassroots stuff, but it works. And I think people respond to it. And then, you know, figuring out the back end of Facebook and Instagram advertising, like I'm pretty sure you do have to be a rocket scientist to do this. So, you know, we tap into industry experts and we ask them, like, I had a guy look at one of our ads and he's like, yeah, this is good. But did you know you can take all of the people who have bought tickets in the past, upload it into Facebook, it'll create an audience based on them. And like, I didn't know you could do half of this stuff, but there's so much that can happen on the back end of these websites that I don't think people realize just how deep it goes. And I'm terrible, you know, like I really do look to these people around me that are younger and smarter and faster and just know what's going on. They came up to me, hey, we should do some dark posts on our artist sites. And I'm like, I don't have any idea what that means, but sure, let's do that. And, you know, so that's it, is surround yourself with the right people and look for those strategies, do some courses, and it pays off.
And I think the other thing you guys do well, Miles, and I don't want it to be just a pat on the back throughout the whole thing, but I noticed stuff like this, and it's not, you're not just on for 2 weeks prior to the festival and then disappear till next year, 2 weeks away. And I think that's so important. And I think it's an opportunity a number of our festivals miss, is to engage throughout the year and build your audience and stay connected. And it's easy to do because you can recognize your sponsors, you can recognize your volunteers, you can recognize local business, and like you guys, you know, showcase artists and stuff like that. So, I mean, having that presence year round, and you don't have to overwhelm, but there's always something that it's always on front of mind type of thing.
Yeah. And thank you for recognizing that, because that was actually, so I started Sound of Music in 2018, and that was one of the first things that I had said too, is like, we need to be out there more. I think we can be more to this community. And, you know, that's always been my dream for this organization. And I've got a great supportive board and staff and volunteers behind it, is we want to be more than a festival. You know, even the way that we talk about ourselves now, we don't call ourselves the Burlington Sound of Music Festival. You know, as a company, we're Sound of Music. And that's it. We call ourselves Sound of Music because we have these new properties under us. You know, like the Sound of Music Festival is one of our major properties. Live on the Lake is one of our major properties. But yeah, our Emerging Artist Series is something that we are really developing year round. And even if it is as simple as, you know, hey, you need to head on down to the Dickens on Tuesday night because this amazing musician is going to be playing. Like, that's all you have to do. You don't have to put a ton of money behind it. You don't have to be producing major shows. Just get involved in the local music scene. And that's really what we want Sound of Music to be, is the hub of music in this region. We don't need to curate it all. We don't want to. We just want to help get the word out. And I think that that's a big piece too, is there's still, in some ways, in some areas, this weird sense of competition of, you know, oh, well, that person is selling tickets to their event, so, you know, look, we just got to do better than them. Whereas we've always been of the mind that, like, hey, if you're succeeding and we're succeeding, let's do that together. So, you know, you'll see partnerships on our social media with Sonic Onion and Supercrawl and Alora Riverfest and, you know, these are all amazing properties that happen right here in our own backyard. So let's all support each other and all be successful in what we're doing. So yeah, I think there's a ton of opportunity year round to just be more than the festival, be more than your event, and really take part in that local music scene.
Now, Miles, for the people coming to your event, they might not know what's going on behind the scenes. They may not know all of the issues that, you know, all of our festivals are dealing with. You know, what are some of your biggest stresses post-COVID? And there are still things that you're dealing with, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it will come as no surprise to anyone to hear that the biggest stress is money. You know, it's the age-old adage of we are a free music festival, but someone still has to pay for it. So, you know, our funding model is really driven by our earned revenue, which is that food and beverage sales during the event, those VIP ticket upgrades, our sponsors, and government funding. And, you know, those last two, sponsors and government funding, since the pandemic have been extremely challenging. You know, we were kind of spoiled in some ways. There were all these new recovery programs that were generated, and, you know, the government really stepped up, but now we're finding that those are drying up. You know, the COVID recovery days are over, and in a lot of ways, we're kind of out here on our own. But what we're also seeing is those sponsors, you know, they don't have the budgets that they used to. So, you know, where we used to have like a massive sponsor, they're coming back at 40-50% saying like, I'm sorry, this is the best that we can do. And, you know, same on the government grant side of things, the fact that there's no, you know, you can't set your watch to the government. It's just, it doesn't work. So our municipal government is fantastic to us. They've really helped us out throughout the pandemic. They've increased their funding. They've increased their whole support to what we're doing. You know, the province and the federal governments, we never know, when is this grant going to be announced? Is it going to be announced? Are we going to be successful? When would we hear if we're going to be successful? You know, it's a moving target every year. And we try to sit here and we pull up every graph and historic document and, okay, well, we got it in May this year. Oh, but we got it in April that year. Oh, and we got it in, you know, so it's really hard to plan when you have absolutely no idea what kind of funding is going to be out there. And then on the flip side to that, since the pandemic, we have seen our costs skyrocket.
That was going to be my next question, suppliers and industry. Is it tough to find that stuff?
It's crazy. Like our cost of fencing went, like it increased by 60%. Our production costs went up by 25%. And, you know, we're talking about $500,000 expenses that are suddenly getting skyrocketed even higher. And it's incredibly difficult. Insurance, police services, like these have all gone through the roof. So when you're seeing all of these, you know, supply chain issues and suppliers increasing their costs combined with sponsorship and grants declining, you know, we're left going like, well, what do we do? Like, how do we manage this? And, you know, that's why you'll even see now we've got a big campaign going that if you want this festival to continue to be free, please consider donating. You know, like you're not going to be able to go anywhere in the world and see Default and the Struts and Flock of Seagulls and, you know, Lee Aaron for free, all of these in one place. So, you know, throw $5 in the bin. Like that's what we truly need. And we need the government to recognize that, you know, for us, speaking just for our festival, you know, we are the largest economic impactor in this entire region. Last year, we generated $32 million in economic impact. Like that's significant. Like the full-time equivalent jobs that were created was 130. You know, the overall impact that we have is so much bigger than those 4 days. And so we really do. We need the ministers and we need the premier to recognize that these festivals and events, they do need government support and they do need, you know, we are not out of the woods. That's the whole thing. For us, the pandemic is not over. Just because the virus is under control, the pandemic's not over. You know, the live music industry, statistically, was one of the hardest hit in the entire world throughout the pandemic. And we're all still trying to recover. So, you know, we're not out of the woods. And that has been the biggest stress point, is trying to run what we do on the tightest budget imaginable. It's, it's scary. And, you know, here we are 3 weeks out and we haven't heard anything from the provincial government. It's scary, but, you know, we keep on keeping on.
And how about attendance? Like, is the community, or do you think they're back fully engaged, or is there still some that are a little bit weary of, you know, super large groups still?
Yeah, you know, last year when it was our first festival back, there was this like ongoing divisive argument of, are people afraid of the big crowds and we're going to have like the lowest numbers that we've ever had? Or are people going to be just like super excited to get out and it's just going to be huge? So previously, our best year was about 250,000 people. Last year, we had 416,000 people attend. So we almost doubled in 1 year our best record. I think this year we are going to hit that 500,000. I think we've got a strong lineup. I think last year helped us develop an even bigger, wider audience. And we're already seeing through our VIP ticket sales that like we have people coming up from multiple states. We have people coming over from Europe. Like, I think we're going to see a massive, massive year. And, you know, we're still taking precautions. Like we're still going way over the top with making sure that things are clean and sanitary. We're trying to go as cashless as we possibly can. You know, we've doubled our sanitation stations. Like we're doing everything that we can to make sure that we are running a very sanitary event. And I think people recognize that. And I think people are ready to get out and have fun again.
And how about your local business community, your BIAs or your chambers? Are they excited about the amount of people you bring down to the core, or are they good to work with?
They're terrible people. No, I'm kidding. They're amazing. So the Burlington Downtown Business Association is actually one of our sponsors. They present Street Fest, which is great for them because they get to engage all of those local businesses, because we shut down a big strip of the downtown street. So, you know, those businesses, it's kind of cool to see, because we activate the street and they activate the sidewalk. So you'll see all these businesses start spilling out into the sidewalk with really cool promotions and specials and neat merchandise and unique things. So the BDBA is fantastic. Our local chamber is fantastic. They're always, you know, anytime we put something out there, they're, oh, we need to share this for you. Let's get it out. Come speak at these events. Let's get people excited. You know, I do think we have the entire community of Burlington, right through from that municipal government, municipal staff, all the way through to the mom and pop shop down the street, gets behind this thing. Like everyone loves the festival. Everyone gets excited about it. Like it's so funny. We put up these street pole banners about 3 weeks ago. And as soon as those go up, you start to see on social media that we're getting tagged. And, you know, oh, summer's here. Sound of Music is advertising. Like Sound of Music is back. Summer's here. So, you know, the whole community really does get behind what we're doing. And it's cool because we, again, like we don't try to limit ourselves to this is just in the park or on this one street. You know, we promote that, oh, and you got to go check out this pizza joint that's down the street because like it's our favorite. And they're not even sponsoring. They didn't pay for that. We just like to talk about the things like, and it's so funny. Last year, like we had a local pizza place just show up with a ton of pizzas and we're like, hey, you guys look like you're working really hard. So no, the community is amazing. The BIA is amazing. Everybody really, truly rallies behind this thing.
So Miles, just as we wrap up this segment, last pitch, where can people find out information? How can they get tickets, et cetera?
Soundofmusic.ca. Everything you need to know is there. Follow us on like every conceivable social media platform there is. Soundofmusic.ca has just about everything you need, lineup, tickets, the schedules, the vendors, it's all up there. So head on over to the website.
Well, thanks very much, Miles. As we go into break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some other things to do in and around the Burlington area. If you're thinking of coming for a weekend or an extended stretch, more with Fio on the Air when we return.
Festivals and Events Ontario supports a lively, engaged, and dedicated festival and events industry. Purchase your Festivals and Events Ontario membership today and get a team of people working to help you succeed. Here's just a few benefits that membership provides. Promotion, saving money, networking, industry awards, supplier discounts, communications, skills development, and so much more.
So many benefits, so little cost. Buy your membership today. Contact us now, Debbie at festivalsandeventsontario.ca.
Welcome back. FIO on the Air continues. Here again is our host, Dave McNeil.
Welcome back to FIO on the Air. We've been talking about the Sound of Music Festival with their executive director, Mal Russ. And in this section, we're hoping to talk to tourism people. And as it just so happens, Miles is also the president of the Burlington Tourist Association, or whatever it's called. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Miles?
Yeah. So Burlington, or it's Tourism Burlington. So, you know, we are the local destination marketing organization. And that's really what we exist to do, is promote the amazing things that are going on here in Burlington and tell people that, you know, come on out and see what we're up to. So I am fortunate enough. I'm the chair of the board. We've just hired a new executive director who's got some phenomenal ideas. And she's been with us for a whopping 4 days and she's already hit the ground running. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, in a nutshell. Well, I've been with the board now for about a year and a half. And it was one of those, I don't know how to say no to anything. So I was approached and, hey, do you want to join this board? And, you know, it's kind of coincides with the festival and everything you're doing. And I thought, yeah, okay. And, you know, a year later, I'm being asked to be the chair. So here I am.
And we were talking about the government grants. And for some of our audience, I mean, for our festival people, they'll know. But for some of the audience that's looking for things to do, part of the grant and the funding is to really increase tourism in the area. So if you're coming to your festival, you've got a ton of stuff to do for 4 days right there. But what else could a family look forward to seeing in and around the Burlington area if they were going to come down and spend a whole weekend with you guys?
Yeah, you know, it's so I'm full disclosure, I don't live in Burlington. I actually live up the street in Waterdown, but I hike it in. It's down the hill, but I come into Burlington all the time. Like, I think the things that truly, truly make Burlington stand out, the waterfront, which of course is where the festival takes place, our many festivals and events. We are also home to Canada's largest rib fest, which is, I believe it's Canada Day weekend or Labor Day weekend. Nope, sorry, September. But the restaurant scene in Burlington is amazing. Like, it's, you get kind of your standard chains, but you get so many independent local restaurants where you're going to get amazing food, fresh ingredients, things that are sourced locally. One of my favorite, like, shameless plug, is DiMario's. It's this Italian restaurant in town. It's just phenomenal. Handmade pasta every morning. And then, you know, there's our museums. There's the art gallery. The Burlington Art Gallery is actually fantastic. Like, there's so much to see there. Same with the museum. There's so much to see there. The Royal Botanical Gardens is, you know, down the street. Our amazing beaches. And, you know, the live music scene is actually pretty cool. So many bars and pubs and patios are now programming live music. You can probably go to live music just about every day of the week here. So it truly is. There is something for everyone. The Burlington Performing Arts Center, located right out that window behind me, you know, they have a fantastic season that they're lining up. And actually, I think they're announcing the full season tomorrow. There is always something to do in Burlington. And I think that is what makes this a really cool place to come and visit. You know, for a weekend, there's great hotels. The Pearl Hotel down on the waterfront is phenomenal. Looks over the waterfront. It looks over the pier. It's brand new. Beautiful. Like, there's loads to do here.
And sort of back and forth with your Sound of Music hat, do you have host hotels that are offering packages for the weekend, or is that just book them on your own? Or,
I mean, it is book them on your own. However, a lot of the hotels recognize that, you know, this is a super busy time and everybody's sort of competing to, like, no, book here. So, you know, right down at the park, like I say, the Pearl Hotel is there. For us with the Sound of Music, like, a big shout out to the Holiday Inn. They do tons of things for us. Like, just about every hotel in town is actually going to be probably booked to capacity for the 4 days of the festival. But there's a lot of hotels around. So, you know, you can even stay next door, Oakville, Mississauga, Hamilton, and make your way in here. And that's another great thing about Burlington is The Go Station, there's multiple of them right here. For the festival, we do have a partnership with Metrolinx. So they're offering discount travel. You can get a VIP upgrade pass and discount train to come into to the festival. But yeah, like there's a lot of places to stay. There's, like I said, there's great food. Even the restaurants in the hotels, like a lot of them are local restaurants that are just phenomenal.
So as you can see, a ton of stuff to do in and around Burlington. Miles, thank you very much for joining us and giving us a sneak peek at what's to come. Last words from the City of Burlington Tourism and from the Sound of Music. Closing comments from Miles.
Honestly, just a huge thank you to everybody. You know, our continued sponsors who have just not wavered for a second through this entire thing. Our main stage sponsors, TD and Access Storage and Kojiko. Like we've had some sponsors that have been with us for 15 plus years. We have had volunteers that have been with us for 20 plus years. And we have festival goers who have been going since they were born and are now taking their children. So, you know, we are not what we are if it isn't for this community that's around it. And so it's just a big thank you to the community. Thank you to FIO for everything you guys are doing. This podcast, keep it up. You know, you talk about all the amazing things that are going on in this province. We're lucky to live here. We're lucky to do what we do. I'm lucky to do what I do. And please come on out, enjoy the festival, and have a great time.
Thank you very much, Miles. For anybody else that's out there that would like to showcase their festival, their community that's home to them, please get in touch with the office, get in touch with myself. Jay will put up some information on how you can book something, and we'd be happy to help you out. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to bringing you more festivals and events from across the province of Ontario. For FIO on the Air, I'm Dave McNeil. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to FIO on the Air, the voice of festivals and events in Ontario.